B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's Backstrom and Williams. Williams goes forward to the corner now. Orlov for Niskanen. Shouldered by Williams to the point. Cradled by Slavin through the slot. And back up Teravainen and Williams.
Don't you dare tell me they're from Columbus.
I knew that.
What a gift for the Bruins last night. Another one. Everything is breaking their way. The path is there. The door is ajar.
We talked about this yesterday that, okay, you sort of reset. You look at what's the scenarios now. And does pressure change? And we said yesterday, prior to know the outcome of this game, would there be pressure on the Bruins now? That the fact that you got home ice throughout. We said, yeah, that changes things a little bit. Now, after this last night, this changes things a lot. It would be a collapse. I'd call it a collapse.
You got to get through to the next round. That we know. But, oh, my God. Everything that was standing in the way is gone.
You're not going to face Pittsburgh. You're not going to face Capitals. Tampa Bay. Well, Pittsburgh's got talent.
Always say they got no. I didn't think they could beat Tampa Bay. And I did not think they could beat the Capitals. And both of those teams are out.
You said 2 days ago, would they you pick them against the Caps? You're like, no, I'd pick
nope.
the Caps.
Nope, I'd take the Caps. Yeah, they can
would.
Beat everybody else, and I will pick them against everybody else. There's nobody left that I won't pick them for.
Plus,
now you get to the finals. That's different. Let's see what happens there. Well, but in the Eastern Conference, the next two series, I think they're going to beat the Blue Jackets, and whoever it is they face in the Eastern Conference Finals, I'll pick them to win that too. What a break. What an absolute
huge break. Absolutely.
You want to talk about March of the Tomato Cans? This is a path that the Patriots dream about.
Yeah.
Patriots, they've had some easy paths. Nothing like this, though. What an opportunity being presented to the Bruins right now.
If you fell here, this would be equivalent to New England blowing an 18-point lead on the road in Indianapolis where they would face Rex Grossman and the Bears in the Super Bowl, and you would blow them out. We'd have another championship. You'd have seven. You'd have seven.
I mean, there's a real argument to be made here that the hardest series the Bruins will face will be the one they just played.
Yeah. Yeah. You know this team has McQuaid? You know this team? Did you hear the size of some of these forwards, some of these guys in the defensive end? 6'4", 6'5", 6'4", 6'3". They get some big boys, man. I just hope you don't get your ass kicked physically in this series.
Why, you don't think the Bruins can handle that?
I hope they can.
What do you mean? Aren't you supposed to be one of those teams that can handle that?
You're supposed to be one of those teams that skate and have that type of edge. You're not a Toronto-type team. You're not a faster team. You're not a team like Washington. You're not Tampa. Yeah. You should be able, in a physical series, you should win that type of game in that type of series.
617-779-0985, the telephone number. Let's get to some of your calls. Scott's in Weymouth. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
As a regular caller, I promised my buddy I'd give him a quick shout-out, Brian. He's driving a cab around the
South
Shore.
What's up, Brian?
On a beautiful day. What's up, Brian?
Yeah, I do Uber.
All right, let's get to this series real quick. Columbus doesn't impress me, all right? They beat, they swept Tampa.
They swept Tampa?
That's not impressive.
Wake up.
Zolak, you wake up. Let me tell you why.
Okay, you tell me to wake up. Yeah, they beat the best team.
That was an abomination. If those two teams played another best of seven, Tampa would probably beat them 4-1. That's a fluke. Do you really think
losing
Columbus,
four straight, getting swept, is a fluke?
Do you really think Columbus is 4-0 better than Tampa, who had the best record in NHL history?
No, but I think you should take them serious. The fact they eliminated the best team on a sweep.
No, I didn't say don't respect them. I just said they're overrated. I love the Bruins in five here, is my opinion.
I'm with you.
As long as the Bruins the Bruins are a better team. They just, I don't know what I can say on the air. I'll try. If you have to dump, you'll dump. Columbus already blew their load.
We're going to dump that.
That's gone.
That's a treat for our...
Should have hung up on him before we even let him say it.
Yeah, in hindsight, we should have been a little quicker to say, no, don't say it.
The fact he prefaced it with, you're probably going to have to dump me.
I subconsciously wanted him to say it just so I could hang up on him. Is that wrong? All right, so he's giving no respect to the Blue Jackets. He's got no respect for them. Jim and Woburn, what do you make of the Blue Jackets?
I think that the Blue Jackets are a serious opponent, and this kid Scott from Weymouth is an idiot if he thinks otherwise. Just look at the size alone. Those guys are big. I know the Bruins play a physical style as well, but there's nowhere near as big as Columbus is. This is going to be a tough series, and anybody who thinks otherwise is an idiot.
Okay, Jim. Appreciate the call.
That countered Scott's call.
You want to hear the heights? I just sorted it by height on their hockey reference page for you. Ready? 6'4", 6'4". This is like Francesa. Get the Francesa ready.
6'4".
6'3", 6'3", 6'3", 6'2", 6'2", 6'2", 6'2", 6'2", 6'2", 6'2". There are four guys at 6'1". There are five or six. It's actually seven at 6 feet even. Yeah. There are three guys on the roster under 6 feet. Two at 5'11", one at 5'8".
29, 109, 319. 28, 118, 302.
There it is. And the guy who's the shortest guy on the team would be Cam Atkinson, who's pretty damn good. So that's the one short guy they got.
You bring up Francesa. He actually went on air the other day.
Yeah.
And talked about that statue they took down of the God Bless America.
I heard.
Lady. Literally read the lyrics to the song, the titles of the song that people are questioning. Like, well, what's the problem? Like, he went on air with it. Jesus, Mike. Mike's nuts. He's insane.
Yeah.
I think he's just trying to fill time reading stuff.
I have a thought on that, by the way.
Like, who would think this was normal?
It's so predictable, Hardy, that the people that are very much against the everything's got to be PC now, right? That crowd? Will you die on another hill this week instead of that one? Will you just go pick another hill to die on? Who gives a flying F about Kate Smith or her stupid statue in Philadelphia? Stupid, moronic statue to begin with. Go die on another hill, please.
How many people were stopping to get their picture taken with the Kate Smith statue?
No, nobody was.
You've actually drawn more attention to it. Now you know more of who she is because you take the statue down.
Go die on some other hill.
And then you're
going to
cover it with a blanket and wrap tape around it.
Oh, my God.
Now you're going to you're really going to talk about the statue.
That's so insane. So insane that people want to take that. Who cares? Yeah. You cared about that?
How many fans and their kids took pictures with that statue, like the Bobby Orr statue or Bill Russell's, Michael Jordan's Chicago?
The Flyers should have taken it down under the premise of our statues suck and we're trying to get better statues.
We're just trying to do better as a city with our statues.
Next up, Rocky. Rocky's coming down next. Next statue to come down will be Rocky, and we'll go one by one until we get some worthy statues.
Right, a city that put Rocky
up. Stupid idiots.
The lyrics from one of the songs, that you know how we like to play Francesa audio from time to time.
No, please, keep defending the honor of Kate Smith.
Francesa read the lyrics, you know, on the air to one of the songs. It's like, that's audio we can't play. Like, you dummy.
Get out. He did that?
Yeah. Let me read some of these lyrics.
Did we just say that?
I said that. 3 minutes ago.
Okay.
Literally.
Well,
verbatim.
You know what? We've got breaking Bruins news, actually. It doesn't qualify as breaking news, but that's what I was paying attention to at the moment. Chris Wagner, Connor Clifton, this is according to Joe Haggerty. Unless you said this too.
No.
Might draw back against Columbus based on today's morning skate. Carson Coleman and John Moore skating as extras.
Oh.
John Moore seems like he'd be a useful guy against Columbus.
Meathead?
Nah, just, you know, get take care of himself physically. And from my understanding, Columbus was very physical with the Tampa Bay Lightning. So, again, nothing official yet.
Hey, meet. Let's go. Get up. Let's lace them up.
My apologies, though. That's what Jim and I were.
Are we going to see Backus again?
It's the Backus
not tonight,
game.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Ooh. I think he's back in Worcester. Didn't he?
him and Jim.
I got a tidbit for you.
617-779-0985. I see draft calls as well. Let's mix those in as we continue to talk about the Bruins series tonight and the NFL draft and also the Red Sox this hour as well.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Well, you can clearly see there's a gap when the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Six one seven 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 nine zero ninety eight five. Draft happening tonight as well. Jaguar in the car wants to talk about it. Jaguar,
how's it going, guys?
Hey, what's up? It's Tiger.
How's it going?
Good.
So, quick question for you guys. I might be just a hopeful Patriots fan, but is there any possible way the Patriots actually go for the best available wide receiver, since that's where the biggest depletion is? From my understanding, there's a lot of quarterbacks and linemen going in the first round, so they might get lucky and have one of the better wide receivers fall in their lap.
I mean, it could happen. I just don't want it to be Hollywood Brown.
I listened to Todd McShay and Kuiper on the PMT podcast on the way in. McShay said,
"Yeah,
there's as much as 10 skill guys, receivers, or running backs could go in a second, third round." He said that's the sweet spot for them. Maybe one guy. Maybe the Jacobs kid with Oakland takes him in the first round. You know, gets back in that thing at the end, said, I want to take a running back. DK Metcalf, probably the only guy off the board in round one. And after that, could be anybody. A big run's going to happen right around where the Patriots have all these picks in the second round.
So. DK Metcalf is a name we've heard. Hollywood Brown.
Yep.
Who are some of the others that we've Debo.
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 See you, Billy. See you soon, Billy.
Another one of your guys.
Yep.
So we'll see. I mean, is it possible that you get to the late first round and you don't have a receiver off the board? Yeah, even possible that that happens.
You could have a massive run of defensive talent this round. First round. Talking about that first round. And when does it start with the quarterbacks?
Mike's in the car. What's up, Mike?
Guys, they're not going to take Metcalf because, you know, if you look at the measurables, the guy can't cut. If you looked at, like, he had all the measurables for you want physicality.
It's Josh Gordon. They already got Josh Gordon. Yeah.
Correct. So what do you think is a more likely scenario here? The Patriots trade up to, like, where Seattle is. Seattle wants to move down because they don't have many picks. It's about 21. Or I was reading that the Browns, they're a stupid organization. Wouldn't it be Belichick in to give them the 32nd pick, trade out for their first next year, and then try to get – more ammo for down the road.
You trade out.
What would be the point of that?
Cleveland's not going to give you their first next year to get back in at 32.
I think they would, though. Teams trade second and trade future first.
How does that help the Patriots, though? Don't the Patriots sort of need talent? They have needs. They need more young players. They need all of that.
Well, they have 12 picks, so they would probably get a second or third round pick back by trading out of the first round. And you, there's so much stuff. There's that Sternberg.
I don't know if those guys are going to make the football team.
It's
like a bunch of fourth, fifth rounders.
Kicking the can down the road. For what?
You don't have a lot. You don't have a ton of roster spots. You're not going to use all your 12 picks. I mean, you still got to get guys.
Right. If anything, this is a year you move up, not down.
Right.
Consolidate the picks and get better picks.
To his original point there with Seattle. Okay. If Seattle wants to acquire more picks, you get out there. And I think there are some teams like the Titans, like Seattle. Like Detroit, that are picking in the late teens to early 20s that you have good relationships with, that might be a trade partner for.
Should the Patriots be trading out of the first round tonight?
No.
No.
No, they should not.
And if they trade out, I
will be disappointed. I'll be extremely disappointed. If anything, I'm putting money on it. 80% they're trading up.
They better make a pick tonight.
They're trading up to get an offensive or defensive tackle. Get ready for it.
Mike in the truck. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good.
How are you?
Yeah, first off, I feel violated. Someone else is using Mike in the truck, but this Mike in the truck from Rentham only calls about football.
All right.
Hey, listen, the draft. Everyone's got to realize what they're picking on in the draft is players at the best physical players for 2 years from now, not next year. They fill in this year with their free agents.
Yeah.
Look at the drafts they got. They picked up the stud that's replaced Soldier. He hurt his ankle. They picked up Sam and Bentley to replace Hightower. They picked up Sonny Michel to replace James White in the future, but he played great this year. Belichick's system is to plug holes 2 years from now. That's why they're the dynasty. So whoever they pick.
Belichick has routinely had guys drafted in the first round that make an impact right away.
Anchors. Wilfork type players. Hightower. Yeah. Jones.
Yeah, but they're
McCourty,
down
Mankins.
The road. They're gonna get defensive players.
Seymour.
They're gonna get defensive players that are gonna help them 2 years down the road.
And in the first round?
Wide receiver, maybe. Yeah, yeah. They're not gonna be impact players this year. Very
How do you know that?
A great impact player.
If you trade up to get a guy at 2021, he's a plug and play guy. Sorry about that.
I wholeheartedly disagree with that take.
Especially if you trade
Bill
up
Belichick
to 20.
That's... has done an excellent job of drafting guys that out of the gate make an impact in their rookie year. Starting all the way back with his first round pick, Richard Seymour,
yep,
was a beast in year number one. Daniel Graham was a starter, really, when you think about it, when he got drafted in the first round.
Ben Watson.
He was okay, but I mean, he's a guy who played. Ty Warren was a first round pick. Ty Warren was great from the get-go. Ty Warren played right away,
yeah,
made an impact. Logan Mankins, who you mentioned, first round pick,
McCourty,
impact right away.
See, Solder.
Lawrence Maroney, I know that overall he didn't have a great career, but right out of
numbers.
The gate,
he
rookie
had productive
year,
numbers.
He produced.
Played an undefeated
Gerard
team.
Gerard Mayo, first round pick. You know what he did his first year? Produced.
Stud.
He was a player.
If the Patriots had made it to the Super Bowl that year in 06, Maroney would be looked at like Sonny Michel and not like a bust.
Yes.
People don't view Sonny Michel as a bust, but he did so much this season for them.
I just disagree with that. Bill Belichick's first-round track record is really good. He's really got, you know, a couple in there that
and
you look at
there
and say, Dominique Easley, that just didn't work. That was a risk. He knew it at the time. It did not pay off.
Your team was loaded. It was a luxury pick. The guy blew his ACL. He's probably a top-10 pick if he didn't.
Malcolm Brown did not work. He was okay.
Brown,
he wasn't a total bust.
Sort of like Maroney.
He wasn't. I don't know. He never.
It wasn't non-productive.
Yeah, he was productive. He played, but he was never really a first. Right. He never really lived up to some of the other first round picks the
Got
team
a couple
has had.
Super Bowl rings.
The only position I could say that they would pick that wouldn't impact right away is maybe receiver. In this system, it doesn't seem like receiver can be an impact guy right away.
But do you agree that Bills drafted a lot of guys in the first round that have jumped in and played right away?
Yes,
and fit and been good.
Like I said, mostly defensive linemen, corners, tackles.
Anchors.
Anchor
type players, guys that you target to be starter for a long time.
Okay, his running backs that he's drafted, I don't think he's going to draft a running back, but the two running backs we named, Maroney and Michelle, year one, they're both impact players. Both of them.
Yep.
Right out of the gate. Sonny Michel dealt with injury and missed time and still had an impact on the team. So I'm not writing off first round picks as a guy you have to wait 2 years on. You can draft a guy in the first round tonight and expect him to produce
right. And
be someone who helps your team right away. Right away. 2019. Barbara and Beverly getting ready for the draft tonight. Barbara?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi, Barbara.
How you doing?
Good. I was up in your neck of the woods the other day. That's a far drive up there.
Yeah, it's good. Where were you?
I was up in Salem.
Oh, okay. That's right next to me. Yeah.
Yeah, cute little town.
Yeah, it is. It's cute up here.
Yeah.
Listen, you guys, I wanted to ask you a couple questions, but I also wanted to say that if they draft a quarterback in the first round, which I know they won't, but if they did that, that would be extremely insulting to Tom Brady.
It'd turn his town upside down, Barbara. It would turn his town upside down.
It would make it crazy. And the quarterback draft is next year, not this year. So I just think that, like, the cornerback that you guys were talking about, Richard Sherman, like,
yes,
that sounds like a perfect pick that Belichick would make. It sounds like something he would do. I mean, it's not. I've seen the receiver crew doesn't look all that great except for Hutchinson. So, what do you guys think? Do you think that he'll take that guy?
Hutchinson will be gone top 10.
I think Barbara knows this draft board far better than I do.
She does.
I mean, she's into
good.
It.
People forget that they drafted McCourty and he played corners first year and went to a Pro Bowl as a corner.
Yeah, first round pick.
He made all pro.
First round pick.
No, he didn't make all pro.
I think it was second team all pro, no?
He was a pro bowler. That's a big difference, all pro and pro bowl.
Yeah, but he might have been second team all pro.
Maybe. I don't remember him being that as a rookie. Wow. Look at Barbara.
about that. I'm going to screw it up now because of failure.
Joe Juwan.
No, not Joe Juwan, as he said.
Joe Juwan.
No.
Joe Juwan.
Joe Juwan.
J-O-E-J-U-A-N. Joe Juwan Williams from Vanderbilt.
All right, they're so drafting this kid tonight because of all this. Right. Bird has him linked to it. Traeger from NFL Network has him linked. He's been linked to the Patriots by a number of reports. Here's why I would like that pick, even though I don't think it's necessarily drafting for a need. If you're not going to draft for need, at least you're drafting at a position where that's a high-value position. Corners? And all of a sudden, you pick up a great corner in a draft? You can never have enough great corners.
Look at this guy.
Those guys are hard to acquire, and they're usually expensive.
He looks like a physical, ripped guy. Like, you know, muscular. Like, more, like, bigger than McCourty.
I would say the same would be true even if you were looking at a team that had edge rushers and had edge guys, that they were fine and didn't have a need there. This team does have a need there. But if they didn't have a need and you draft there anyway, how do you, you know, that's not a position I would typically find fault with.
Right.
Those are always guys that are going to help your team. Oh, we've got too many good edge rushers. What? Who says that? Oh, we've got too many really good corners. You can never have too many good corners. You can never have too many good pass rushers. You can never have too many of those guys. So that is the good thing if that's the way that this goes.
So McCourty, first year, 7 interceptions, 17 passes defensed. Sporting News first team all pro, AP second team all pro.
Jesus.
Monster wrong. Season.
But wrong. We were all just
and
waiting.
And it was a safety less than a year later.
But Mike in the truck said you can't bank on first rounders in year one. They're only about, you got to wait for year two before you see any production out of them.
That same draft also had a couple good tight ends drafted too, so.
617-779-0985, the telephone number. We'll continue with the draft stuff throughout the day. Also, Bruins and Blue Jackets. Do want to tell you what's going on with the Red Sox and Dustin Pedroia, more specifically. Zoe's already shaking his head. We'll get to it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I don't think there are 3 words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Solak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, boy.
That's good, Lal. The little leader strikes again. So cute.
Okay. All right. Dustin Pedroia. Still hanging around with the Red Sox.
Tanner.
What?
Vroom, vroom, Tanner. Bad news bears.
Oh. Well, he's still around, and, Dustin Pedroia is coaching. That's what I would say. He's coaching his teammates, helping them do things, including
He's given his team more from this instructional standpoint than he has as a player in the last 3 years.
Pedroia went up to...
He's the guy that fixed David Price, by the way,
He went up to Eduardo and said, if you wiped your nose every once in a while, people wouldn't give you so much crud all the time.
Yeah. He's probably going to go to Chris Sale and go, look, Crisco, huh? Here, Vagisil. And if I put a little jalapeno on my nose, it gets a snot
going. Now you're going to a different
movie. You
need
all that for your baseball?
Now you're doing
an arm like you.
So Eddie Rodriguez was throwing a new slider last night.
Yeah.
You know who taught him it?
Yes.
One of the pitching coaches or analytics people that actually study and work with pitchers?
No. The injured second baseman, Dustin Pedroia, did.
Leader of the pack.
E-Rod on that.
It's funny because 4 days ago I was talking with Petey on the dugout and he told me, hey, do you wanna throw a really good breaking ball? And I said, yeah, bro, I've been battled to throw breaking balls since I got here in the big league. I mean, since I was in the minor league. And he told me hold the ball like this and throw it like that. And 2 days ago I started throwing it with my knee over there, and And it's funny because I'm the first time I throw that kind of breaking ball today, and it was working. So I just got to say thanks to him.
So the way the grip was?
Yeah, the grip. He showed me that grip, and I started doing it 2 days ago. And I tell him, bro, I'm going to throw that today, and you tell me how it is, and I think we're pretty good.
How does he know how to throw a slider?
I don't know. He just told me that he was throwing that when he was in school, so... And he just told me how to throw it, and I got to say thank you to him.
Have you ever talked about pitching with him before?
No. You were sitting on the bench with him, and he told me, hey, do you want to see a nasty breaking ball? And I said, yeah. And just hold the ball like this and throw it. And the next day, I got the ball, and I throw it the first one. I went, oh, this is moving pretty good. And I'm throwing on the bullpen, and I'm throwing the game today, and it was working. So I got to say thank you to him.
More of a slider or more of a curveball?
I don't know. Whatever you want to call it. Just something to go right what I wanted. So.
Is that much different of a grip than you had, honestly?
Yeah. Way so much different. But like I say, it's working, and I just got to keep working on it because I just got it like 3 days ago. So got to keep working on it and keep throwing it and getting better.
What's the problem? Great. What's the problem?
Love it.
What's the problem?
Hey, boss, you want to throw a nasty breaking ball? Let me show you a little something.
I love that guy.
I mean, you've only been with the guy for how many years now? So he's obviously not playing. He's standing next to you in the dugout, sitting next to you in the dugout, and says to you, hey, you want to see a nasty breaking ball?
Well, maybe
guess what I'm ready for? A nasty, insulting joke or something. You know, not like, hey, I'm actually going to show a Major League Baseball pitcher. God, it's actually a pitcher. Okay. You would think that a pitching coach or somebody that works with these guys or a catcher, and you would think maybe Sandy Leone brought it back.
Does this somehow reflect poorly on Dustin Pedroia?
No, it's showing you not that at he's all. Actually... It's probably time to take the uniform off and put a coat, you know, the little coaching.
Well, no, they
on.
Still wear a uniform. So keep the uniform
not,
on.
Well, just, not really.
Would I you mean, make him a coach? Because I would.
I would, yeah. Yeah, some guys are made to, if you can pick up these little things, these little idiosyncrasies, like you can look at David Price and say, wow, your knee's not up as high it usually is.
The interesting thing about like, that,
what are,
though,
what are you going to pitching coach for?
Do you think that Dustin Pedroia could eventually be a manager in baseball? Because I think he could.
Yes. Yeah. But here's
I think he's one of these guys that
in-game film.
You're seeing it right now.
Yes.
Can't let go of the game. Likes to be at the ballpark every single day. He's the perfect guy that's cut out for the grind of the baseball season. He loves it.
Okay, here's where the issue would be. If I were trying to decide where to put Dustin Pedroia in terms of on the staff, because as Zoja said, you know, you got pitching coaches, you've got bench coaches, you've got hitting coaches. Here's a guy who seems to know a little bit about everything about this game.
Yeah, he's a bench coach candidate is what he is. Ron Reinicke's got the job now.
Okay.
But
like an instructor, right?
You can't make him like job specific. You can't make him any kind of a hitting coach or anything like that because he's got that. Look, he helped David Price. He's helping Eduardo with pitching.
Pedro and Veritek couldn't get this done, but Pedroia does on the bench. I mean, it's...
Yeah, but those guys aren't sitting next to him on the bench just randomly saying, hey, you know what I used to throw? You know how I used to throw this?
In full uniform working with these
but
guys.
That's
here's how I used to hold the ball with the grip. How do you hold the ball with the grip? And then that's how it happens.
Right. But you have to make him the right type of bench coach or assistant because if you put him too job specific, he can't be stepping on the toes of the other guys on the coaching staff who are maybe pitcher specific.
Right.
If he's there just to help with infielders and help these guys along at second and shortstop, they're not going to like it if he comes over and he starts messing with Eduardo Rodriguez's grip. So you got to make him something where he's got a little bit of say in everything if he wants to, because I think he's got that kind of like overall knowledge.
I think at some point,
roving instructor,
you make him a bench coach on this team if Reinicke leaves.
A little manager.
I'd do it. I would. By the way, it's not only instruction that he's good with. You got Michael Chavis's baseball back that he hit over everything the other night. I'm done. Why?
What can't he do?
Apparently, he's making himself very useful while he's being on. While he's hurt, he can do everything but play right now.
I bet they didn't run out of water in a dugout either, or sunflower seeds.
Chavis hits his first major league home run. The ball leaves the ballpark.
Listen to this, Hardy.
So Pedroia makes it his mission. Got to go track that thing down. Here's what Chavis said. I got the ball. I need to thank Dustin. Because apparently he signed a ball, so whoever found it would give me the ball. And they were very gracious. If they see this, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's not going to happen again, so it's really special. That being his first major league home run. So Pedroia's quick thinking was, here, let me sign another ball. Try and trade this out for the Chavis ball.
He's actually pretty smart, understanding what your actual value is.
Yeah, give him
and
something.
Applying it to where you
give
can
him something
the team.
Here. Yeah. We got to give him something better than, you know, whatever Pedroia sent their way. Autographed the baseball, sent it with whoever it is that tried to go track down the Chavis ball.
You know what he is? He's Winston Wolfe. He's the Winston Wolfe of the Red Sox. Fixes things.
He's a fixer.
He is. MacGyver. He's a fixer.
MacGyver.
I do like the fact he's making himself useful. Yeah, you know, just sit around. You just sit there and chew double bubble.
13 million.
Just watch baseball. No, keep busy. I can do stuff. Hold it like this.
Juggle.
Give me a pen. I'm going to swap out that ball for that one.
Make me a bike.
617-779-0985. That's what Dustin Pedroia is up to. More on Columbus.
Yes.
As we get closer to a series between the Blue Jackets and the Bruins starting tonight.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This hour, Zolak and Bertrand is brought to you by East Boston Savings Bank, getting it done since 1848.
Or listen to a song. Say that. Not too shabby, Columbus.
Joe Walsh from Columbus, the only member of the Eagles party ever liked.
The only time they ever rocked when Joe Walsh was in the band.
Columbus, Ohio, America's 15th largest city.
How many people stop me on public?
Whoa. Columbus is the 15th largest city in America?
That's what the facts
America?
On Columbus
no
tell me.
You know, wow. Actually, I forgot to correct that. I think it's up to 14 now.
Oh,
I think that's like a year old, yeah.
Since Beetle mentioned it?
I looked it up this morning.
A couple more people just moved in. Just closed on a house.
That is shocking.
Yeah.
You know how many people stop me on public and is so angry with your take on the Eagles?
Zero.
Because they've loved you from BCN. And they respect your musical interests. And
if
your
they
take
love
on
me
Eagles
from BCN,
so
they never heard the Eagles on BCN.
But maybe you could listen to BCN and still like the Eagles back in the day. What's wrong with that? You've listened to Eagles.
Who hasn't listened to the Eagles?
Yeah. Say you like them. Doesn't mean like all of a sudden, it's so offensive if you don't like the Eagles. Jeez.
Columbus is bigger. Oh, my God.
Columbus, as I said, 15th largest city. I'm going to save my...
How else you going to put 110,000
people
I'm going
to save what I think is
game.
The most interesting fact about Columbus as we get better acquainted with it. The first Wendy's, as I say it that way just for Zoe, the first Wendy's opened there in 1969.
Paulie would like it there.
So Wendy's started there. White Castle has been based in Columbus since 1933.
That's amazing to me because you think White Castle, you think California, you think West Coast.
It was founded in Kansas, and their base has been in Columbus since 1933.
You think West Coast, White Castle?
I've always like, when I go to California, it was White Castle or In-N-Out Burger.
No, there's White Castles.
There's White Castles in down in New Orleans, but I've never seen them like in Pittsburgh or Maryland or down in Florida.
Guy Fieri is from Columbus.
Oh, Jesus.
Winner, chicken dinner.
He's from there, as is R.L. Stine, who wrote the Goosebumps books.
Guy Ferry, F-E-R-R-Y.
Well, hold on. To his credit.
It's Fieri.
To his credit, his grandparents changed their name to sound more American when they immigrated to the United States. So he changed it back.
So you say.
Okay, Artie. Don't be a dick.
He's a dick.
You're being
He actually
a dick.
Isn't. Zoe and I can vouch for that.
Yeah.
He's actually
nice
not.
Real nice guy.
He's actually a really nice guy.
You never ate burgers that he cooked on a grill.
Not at all. He is definitely not that.
I hung out at the Kennedy compound with him, and he made me hamburgers.
Is he a tool?
No.
Nope.
He really isn't.
Nope. Good
really
dude.
Really isn't.
Good dude. I vouched for him. He actually made me, you know, when we were in Foxwoods, I went to his restaurant because I like him so much. And I got the
nachos in the can.
Likes to party.
Bronze down statue.
Yeah.
Little Tatutsky?
Huh?
What?
No, those candy.
Huh? Got
Gary? No, I don't know
little
about
Peruvian
any of that.
Marching powder, huh?
I don't know about any of that.
I don't know about any of that.
Little booger sugar?
Likes to get after it, though.
Get after it?
Likes to party. Bronze statue of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
What?
Located downtown.
Why?
Celebrates his relationship with Columbus.
What, he work out of the workout world there?
In 1970, he won a Columbus weightlifting contest. And won it over several better-known athletes and told the event organizer, when I retire from bodybuilding, I'll be back. And you and I will put together a major bodybuilding competition right here every year. They then teamed up to create the Mr. Olympia contest. And then in 1989, Schwarzenegger launched the Arnold Sports Festival. Mm. Takes place annually in Columbus. Talk about a town with stupid statues. The suburb of Dublin, this one has really been something that Tom T-Bone has been obsessed with all day. In the suburb of Columbus, Dublin, Ohio, is the home of 109 concrete ears of corn. In 1994, artist Michael Cochran...
Keep going.
...built the sculptures to honor... Ohio's agricultural roots and arrange them in rows in a field. Each statue 6'3".
That's a big...
Striking.
The big cob.
Corn hedge.
Officially, this outdoor artistic display is known as Field of Corn.
It looks like Arlington National Cemetery.
Unofficially, they call it...
Massive of corn.
Corn henge. So they have 109 6-foot-tall concrete ears of corn.
6'3".
And T-Bone.
Same as Juwan Williams.
Okay, so T-Bone found a video on YouTube.
It's like Billy Lanny climbing corn.
Corn
henge. Of a guy trying to, I guess, climb them.
Lanny trying to climb corn.
I've never heard Tom laugh so hard in my life.
He obviously continues to fail at climbing the 6 foot.
Why do you want to climb it?
Concrete ear of corn.
What do you want to get on top of it?
I don't know, but he fails miserably.
What, do you want to sit on the top of it?
Tom's been losing it all day back there watching this video.
This is unbelievable, though.
If you're watching on our simulcast, you're seeing a video of
it right
now.
This guy gets his ass kicked by just trying to climb it.
I don't understand what he's trying to accomplish.
Looks like Jeremy Conley.
Is he trying to get to the top? What is he doing?
He looks like a yoga instructor, maybe.
He's not very athletic.
He's very fit.
I don't know what he's doing.
What do you think that guy's vertical was? 3 inches?
Tom, have we tweeted anything out on this front? Yeah?
What do you get on it, Tom?
He's sending it now.
Okay, I want the people who are not able to watch us on television to see that. Those of us, those of you on radio, we'll put that up.
My favorite
all of that.
I bet that Free Solo guy could just scamper right up to the top of one of those
things. Well,
yeah,
but that's a Free Solo guy.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him do it.
This guy
free
is...
Free Solo guy could get up there and stand on one leg for hours on end.
He'd climb like a monkey. He'd be right up on top of that thing.
My favorite part is when this...
You have to grease those like the light poles in Philly if they win.
Right. This non-fit, well, they might like it out there in Columbus. You never know.
They're going to have to butter the corn.
Put some more grease on it. Non-fit guy takes his shoes off and then proceeds to try and climb it with socks, which are actually more slippery.
Okay.
Need some chalk
in the
hands.
So that's what we know about Columbus. Here's one more thing. 48% of Americans live within 600 miles of Columbus, Ohio. That's sort of a massive number.
Wait a minute.
Major cities like Atlanta, Chicago, New York are less than
a day's
drive
away. I'm trying to think how long is. Okay.
600 miles is not that far. You can drive that in a day.
You wouldn't want to, but you could. Yeah.
I've driven to Florida before. That was a nightmare.
Commute back and forth home is 120 miles a day.
Congratulations.
600 is easy.
You want to drive back and forth five times today?
Hey, no. Jim, make you sit there and listen to more podcasts.
Not every day, but... That's a trip. That's, 8 hours driving at reasonable speed?
You're right. 600 miles in one day in a car is a picnic. It's a good time.
Sounds like fun.
You wouldn't want to do it.
Are we there yet? I'm hungry. I got to go bathroom.
Jim calls it easy. I don't know that I would call it easy, but sure. 600 miles, that's like driving from Boston to Virginia. You could do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? No, I want to know what you were going to say.
Nope.
No, say it. Oh, it's good. That's good. Give me more of that.
Where do you stay when you go? Like, what is downtown Columbus? What's the big hotel there? Like a Hyatt or Hilton?
I stayed in like a little boutique. Boutique hotel.
And they did like a nice little wedding with the draped tents, right?
They had the Chromecast already set up on your TV so you could mirror whatever's on your iPhone.
Shut up.
On your TV in the hotel room.
It's nice.
You put anything on that TV, huh?
I've noticed that most hotels include... yeah. Most hotels like include TV, the Netflix right? now on the on TVs now.
Yeah.
If you have a Netflix account. Mm. So. I don't, considering it's a major city, I'm guessing they have all the major hotel brands there.
So where do watch, you stay? Team. Watch them where climb
stay
some
there
corn.
In Columbus. I don't know, the Marriott? Holiday Inn? I went to camp
Renaissance
in
high school. I don't remember anything about Columbus except the stadium. Like I went to Ohio State camp there. Spent a week in Columbus. I don't remember anything about it.
So I was looking at the list of the largest cities in the U.S. because I couldn't believe that Columbus was as high as 14. I can't believe a lot of the cities on the list. If I gave you 50 guesses, you wouldn't come up with number 11. Guess what? Just outside the top 10.
Nashville.
Nashville is 24.
Okay.
I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
Green Bay.
Southwest.
Oh, Albuquerque.
Phoenix.
Nope.
Phoenix is big.
Phoenix is 5.
Oh, okay.
Albuquerque's so way down there at 32.
Vegas.
It's in Texas.
Texas?
San Antonio.
Nope. San Antonio's 7.
Lubbock.
Austin.
Austin. 11th largest city in the United States.
Boston.
Austin, Texas. The things we learn on this show. It's amazing, Beetle.
All right. Play the Thursday
Cornhenge.
Yeah. Play the Happy Thursday.
It's beautiful,
song.
Beautiful country.
Hardy's got a hip headline.
Really is. Get us the headlines, Hardy, if you don't mind.
Yeah, Hardy.
All right. Get caught up on matters, and we're back with the noontime hour with all your calls on the draft and on
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.